Welcome, 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 welcome. We are glad you're here today. You can go ahead and get a seat if you would like, or you can stand with me all day. That's fine. It is so good to be with you guys. Can we just welcome everybody who's our guest today? We have first-time people in the house. So good to see you guys. Whoa, what was that? Let me calm this thing down over here. Chill here. Down, boy, down. Garrett got it all fired up, and the bass wants to keep worshiping. All right, come on. Oh, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Now I don't even know what page to start on. What a blessing, man. Can we just welcome our online church? Come on, y'all give them good. Give them some good. See, if you've watched online, you realize that when you clap for them, they can barely hear you unless you clap really, really loud. Okay, we're working on that. But we just want to welcome everybody. If you're here at home, if you're driving, wherever you are, we're just glad you're here today to be a part of us. If you are a first-time guest or a newer person, have been here for a while, and what's happening now with our church is I keep meeting people that say, oh, I've been here a month. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. It's a blessing, but it's also very difficult. But if you've been there like that, if you've never completed a connection card, would you do that right now for us? They're in front of you. Yes, absolutely. We wish you would do that so we can connect with you. If you want to do it online, there is a QR code. It used to be on screen. I don't know where that went, but we'll find that. Put that up, and then you can go to our website, discoveryal.church. If you're at home, please go on and fill out a connection card. Those come to me, and we can connect together and just to reach out to one another. We don't bug you or anything like that, but we would love to let you know how much we appreciate you being here. I just want to preach. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? I started 2 weeks ago. Oh, let me say one more thing before I preach. Last week was crazy amazing in the house, was it not? I wasn't here. I was preaching away at Hopetown. They send greetings, by the way. I love Hopetown Church, and Tim and those guys over there are doing a great work, and they're like us. The church, y'all, is growing. People are looking for something, and we got the answer of all answers, right? Come on, church. I mean, are we agree with that? Are we all, yeah, it's all right. Yeah, it's pretty good, you know. You know, because it's not about what happens in here necessarily, although this is, like, awesome and amazing. But I love to be able to go and speak at other places when I get an opportunity, and I'm off on third Sundays now, so I went over and spoke for them. And I just want to say I watched online last week, and I appreciate Micah, man. Doesn't Micah do a great job, man? We just love Micah and leading worship and then preaching and putting the kids on stage and letting people see, man, we're just about everybody. It doesn't matter how old or young you are. We're just glad you are here. And watching those kids learn and grow. And did the Michael Jackson illustration not blow your mind? I'm like, whoa. So I got privy. I wasn't going to be here. So he said, I got to show you this, man. And I've shown that thing off to a few people. And it's just really cool how God does. There's really nothing new under the sun, as he said last week. And what I'm going to talk to you about today may not be new under the sun, but a lot of it is new for me. And I'm so excited to preach about the authority of Christ. Because here's the thing. I think that so many of us, even those of us who are Christian, oftentimes do not live in the authority that we have been given. And for some of us, it was ripped away by religion from the past. And that's not slamming on any church or anybody or anything like that. It's just what I learned. What I learned so much of it took the power away from me. And in place of that, fixed it where I felt like I had to do everything to get it right myself. And what I didn't know and I learned later on is you can't do it all right to get it yourself. If you're trying to do that, if you're trying to get your life cleaned up before you come to Jesus so you can be acceptable to all of us, forget it, because none of us are acceptable right where we are except without him, correct? Y'all see what I'm saying? Without him, we're nothing anyway. So come and let him do that. We catch him, he cleans them, all right? That's what we do with fish, right? I don't clean fish. I'll catch them. I don't even have to get them off the hook, man. It's been a long time since I've been. I'm like, hey, you get that. I tell you, I'll bait the hook. I'll fish it. But I ain't touching that fish if I don't have to until it's on a plate fried in front of me. Now, I won't touch it then. No, for real, we just love people. Come on, church. We got to love people. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, extrovert, introvert, red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in Jesus' sight, and we've got to live that way. In a world that's so polar opposite from one another. So the way to do that is in the authority of Christ. Message one was 2 weeks ago. I talked about the whole series is called Author Power. Jesus has the power. He's authored it all. It's all on him, okay? And he can handle it, and he's handling it very well. He's very, very, like, capable of just making sure that everything happens the way it needs to, and just it doesn't always work out like we want to. I made that point in the first message, but my thing is that Jesus has the all authority. Just to recap message one, he has all authority because God gave it to him. I'll read the verse in a moment. He also had all authority because he came out of the grave. And I had four deaths in my life last week. One I had to go to the funeral for on Friday. A very dear friend of mine, Dorian Flynn, amazing, amazing servant of God, dug I don't know how many hundreds of wells in Africa. He's from South Africa, went back over, did mission work, and just incredible human being. Cooking breakfast one morning, his wife walks out of the kitchen, comes back in, he's in the floor, graveyard dead, out of nowhere. And I say it like that. It's devastating on the family, obviously, but we can say it that way because we know that resurrection is coming because our Lord defeated death itself. So what should we be afraid of if he's already defeated death for us? Come on, y'all. Y'all act about 85%. I'm preaching 85% better than y'all reacting, all right? Come on. Better you react, the quicker we get out of here. I'm just kidding. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, period. All right, well. And I hadn't preached here in a week, so I got to give it all out, right? Jesus said this. Jesus came to and told his disciples, I have been given how much authority? All authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, as you go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that word in the name of, we made point of this last week. In the name of means he gets the authority, or 2 weeks ago. He gets the authority. It's all from his name, his power, his authority. And he says, teach these new disciples to obey the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He didn't leave us. He didn't forsake us. He walked away. He didn't leave us orphans. We're not just wandering around going, I don't know what to do today. He gave us Holy Spirit inside of us who empowers us to do the very things he said that he did and more. Boy, that got quiet, didn't it? I don't know, man. He raised the dead. That's what he said. He healed the sick. That's what he did. That's what he did. And sometimes we abdicate our authority in that. I've been praying every day for a long time now that God would let me see where I've abdicated my authority and take it back in Jesus' name. It is time we stand up like that, y'all. You don't have to be afraid of anything. Death itself cannot harm you inside Christ. And that's just the way we see it. We are empowered with his authority. And here's my biggest fear and why I'm doing this series. We do not walk in that authority. We walk in the fear of the enemy. And too often, we trust the things that are not of God to be that which gives us the hope and comfort of our future. And you can fill in the blank with whatever you want. Anything but Christ doesn't work. He is the authority. How do you parent? Through Christ. How do you learn? Through Christ. How do you work? Through Christ. You say, well, I don't do a Christian job. Well, you better do one. I mean, you're in the room. You're doing a walk with Jesus, right? Man, you just walk everywhere you go, man. Just shine for who he is. And I'm trying to get better and better at that. Over the next few weeks, we're going to continue this author power series by looking at some things that Jesus did. And we're going to see how he had authority over all things, demons. He had authority over sickness. He had authority over sins. And that's what got him in real trouble with the people. It's like, oh, my goodness, he had authority. Who are you to forgive sins? I'm only the Son of God, okay? And so he's trying to describe that. Y'all, he's given us those authorities, and we ought to operate and move in those. And today I'm going to give one more, like, foundation message. And then next week, I'm not sure where we're going with which story next, but I promise you, just come back and be a part of this. Okay, you should have sermon notes that you were handed when you came in. Just pull those out. If you're online, you can go to discoveryal.church. Or if you're in-house and you want to do digital, you can do the same. Discoveryal.church. Fill in the blanks and email them to yourself. Because this is good stuff, not because I'm saying it, because it's of God. Here's the thing. All right, so the authority, we're going to talk today about the authority of Jesus' teaching. Everybody say teaching. Jesus taught some things while he was here, okay? We're going to talk about how his things that he taught, or why the things, what made what Jesus taught authoritative, something we can take to the bank, something we can live every day. And the first thing, his teachings are authoritative because they are true. They are true. Everybody say true? They are true. Here's what he said in the word in John chapter 8. Jesus said to the people who believed in him. Another whole sermon right there, right? You got to believe and trust in what he's saying. You got to believe and trust in him. Then what he's saying will be what you need it to be in your life. He says, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And then he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And everybody knows that passage. Man, that was quoted all during. I grew up with that passage. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then we made the truth about all the doctrines that we teach in the church, like how to do worship and how not to do worship and how to take communion and not do communion and how to do all these. It was all, truth was a how-to manual. This is how you do Christianity. And Jesus, if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, I'll give you one illustration of how authoritative his teachings were. He said, do not worry. You've seen the sign, right? It says, you know, don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. Anyway, some of y'all get that tomorrow. You know, but he said, let the church. Man, that was way fun. Me and Russ are like falling out of our chair, right, brother? Come on. Thank you. Appreciate you, my friend. Jesus said, don't worry. It's so practical because when you worry about the things, he said, not what you eat, not what you drink, not what you wear. God takes care of the sparrows. Why are you worrying? And that segment, and there's so many more that he said in the Sermon on the Mount. That's in Matthew chapter 6, first book of your New Testament. And when he told them those words, when he tells us those words, our actions, our thoughts, everything becomes uncontrollable from the evil one or the enemy. And until that happens, you're going to worry about everything. Well, what's wrong with our finances? Why can't we? You know, I don't have a job. I don't do this. I don't know what we're going to do. Just wring in your hands all the time, knowing that the enemy has control of you in that moment. And worry's not changed a thing ever since the word's been invented. It doesn't change anything. Jesus said, listen to my truth. And all of his truths, love your neighbor as yourself, all the things that he said are true. They are sustainable. They are livable. They are loving. They are consistent. And here's the real kicker. Jesus' teachings will give you true freedom. And I thought everything Jesus tells me means I can't do nothing. I can't cuss no more, can't drink no more, can't smoke no more, can't have sex outside of marriage no more, I can't do it. What can you do in Christianity? You can live in freedom. Here's the truth I heard this last week from a video somebody sent to me. You know, you can be in here this morning and be a believer and be in Christ and still be shackled up by things that are outside of this room. And the point was made, you can be anything you want to be except free wearing shackles. I could play those drums wearing shackles if I had to. You can do lots of things. And so many of us are walking every day shackled up by the enemy going, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And God said, if you'll just let me set you free, you can break those chains. And that's what he came to do. Number two, not only are they true, but Jesus' teachings are life. They are life giving. Scripture says this, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. He said, well, wait a minute, we've accomplished some pretty good things. Most of us are walking around with a $1,000 or better computer in our pocket. That's a pretty good human stuff, right? Until you realize it's a leash. It's a good illustration of what I just said. But the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And that doesn't mean, by the way, he's not talking about feudalism where you just go, well, I'll just go home and sit down and do nothing. It's not what he's saying here. He's saying stop trusting in the things you're doing and start trusting in the spiritual things of your life. That's when the things you're doing start to make more sense or not. And then you can correct those. He goes on to say, and the very words I have spoken are spirit and life. And the words spirit and life in this text, in the original language, means that the words that Jesus said, the words he spoke, listen, they literally give us sustenance. It is the lifeblood of who we are, his very words. There's, again, a whole series I could preach just on that. When you speak his words, you are speaking more than just mere words. You are speaking life. We want to call ourselves and try to be a life-giving church. So when I hear things, and the devil attacks so many of us, and sometimes I'm the one crying out, and sometimes you are to me or to somebody else, and you're going, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I've got all this anxiety in my life. I've got all these problems in my life. And one of the things you might get back from me, if you ever send me a text like that, is like somebody did this week, say, send me a text. I feel, you know what, the next thing you're going to get is the words of God and prayer. You know why? Because my words don't mean a thing without him. and with Jesus' words in us. The word changes things. It counteracts the spiritual evil and enemy that we have, and we have them. More on that later in another message. Here's what I want to encourage you. Get a verse for it. I just gave you one. If you're worrying, Philippians 2 says don't be anxious about anything. You know, you don't know what to do. My help comes from the Lord. You have a problem with lust. I will make a covenant with my eyes not to look on a woman. And you make these covenants. You begin to say those things. And here's what's really cool about our brain. God already knew this, but we're just discovering that. You say, well, I got this habit, man. I just look at porn too much. I just wish I wouldn't do that. And how many times have you said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do it. While you're clicking, getting to it on the computer, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. It's because those neurotransmitters are going, or whatever you call those things, the neural pathways or whatever. They're basically telling you that the same thing you've been doing over and over and over again are the easy things. Same thing with food. Same thing with drink. Same thing with work. Same thing with kids. Same thing with sports. Same thing with whatever is easy for us to just go, well, is this what I do, man? It's who I am. And you just fall right up in it. Here, I'm going to tell you something. If you'll start telling yourself different things, those pathways change. It's scientifically proven that you continually telling yourself one thing or another, you will become that thing. Sound like scripture, doesn't it? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And by the way, this is not magical incantations. Magic has nothing to do with any of this. And I think because of our New Age culture and the way that we're trying to, you know, there's lots of spirituality around you that people are falling into, you know, crystals and horoscopes and luck. When you say to me, boy, I just got lucky today, and we do that. I know that's just a word or a kind of thing we say. Man, luck has nothing to do with any of this stuff. It doesn't. And you live your life with it. Whoever believes in luck never has any. Have you noticed that? Yeah. This is not magic. It is not incantation. It is retraining my brain to have the mind of Christ so that when those thoughts come in, I just go, hey, wait a minute, enemy, you got nothing on me. Here's a word for you. Jesus did it to the devil himself. He said, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. When something comes into your head, if you will get a verse for it, I'm in the process of making me a list for all the stuff I struggle with. You know, you put it on there and you say, here's the verse I'm going to get for that. And there's more than one usually. But memorize something. Put it in your mind. Say it over and over and over again. Those words to those songs that we used to sing back in the 70s and 80s. And I go, I can't even sing that anymore. And I used to just blah, 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 blah. And it would say, Mom, I can't memorize scripture. Don't do that. Yeah, we can memorize anything we want to. Put it in your mind. Put it in your mind. I got to move. Not only spirit and life are Jesus' words, but they are a foundation for our life. This Sermon on the Mount, the greatest preaching that's ever been done in the history of all of us, because it covers. You correct me on this. I don't think there's a sin that the Sermon on the Mount doesn't cover or talk about or help us with. You check it out in some form or fashion. His teachings are a foundation for life. He told the story at the end of it, like the wise man, the foolish man. The wise man built his house on a rock, and he stood on a rock. And when the rains came and beat up on his house, it stood firm. And then the foolish man's house fell flat. We used to sing as kids. Why? Because it was founded on the sand. And we go, well, duh. We do that, but then we live our lives like that. Jesus is trying to say, listen to my words. Do what I say. And here's what they said about his words. When Jesus had finished his words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching as someone who had authority. Everybody say authority. Jesus had the authority of God with him. That's how he could look at the law. You see, at the scribes in this passage, not as the scribes. Well, we don't. Hither, I have a scribe in my life. No, you don't. You do, but, you know, we don't call them that. These scribes, what they were doing, they were leaning on the traditions of religion. They were living on the interpretations of the law that somebody else told them, who told them, who told them, who told them, who told them. Just like you and I. You meet all people all the time. Well, in the church, so many times I hear these phrases. Well, doesn't the Bible teach? Like at one of the funerals I was with the other day, the husband of the lady who passed away, I heard him, overheard him say to somebody, well, I know we're not supposed to ask why. I said, really? Jesus asked it. And he was quoting David when he did. Why have you forsaken me? I read that during the funeral. I was like, hey, we need to get real about this. It's okay. Cry out to him. Ask him what's up with this. because he's the one that can give you the answer and the comfort. And then you receive that. And there's so many things about this. These guys were just mimicking what they had been taught. And y'all, we have to stop doing that. I'm standing before you today having so much more like wisdom and things in my head. Not that I'm all that wise, but my goodness, if you don't learn from something and you get my age, you've missed something. And here's the thing, if you've missed it, then you can learn it now. Don't say, well, that's just too late for me. It's never, if you're breathing, it's not too late. Give your life over to Jesus and listen to what he has to say because he is the one with the authority. Jesus will say, you heard it? You heard it like this? He would tell these guys, you remember it was this way in your church, but now I say to you, Jesus would say. Oh, they hated him for it. The religious people did, but the people on the street were like, man, we've been waiting on this for so long. And somebody in this room needs to hear, for somebody you love, you need to be able to tell them, I know you think this way, but here's what Jesus says about you. And you need to transform by the renewing of what? Their mind. We depend on what he says. So, since his teachings are authoritative, what do? Number one, we walk in the authority of Christ. Now, you have to accept this. You have to imbibe this. You have to say, I am in Christ, so I am walking in his authority. It's just like when, you know, some of you old school people, you know, you get in school, trouble in school, and your mama would say, just wait till your daddy gets home. Anything but daddy. Why? Because he was the author power of the home. Man, I wish we'd get back to this. He didn't rule it. My daddy loved me, so my mama was the disciplinarian in my family. But if I ever said my mama hears it, it's over. I mean, I just knew right then I might as well just go, assume the position, and wait. If you don't know what that means, I'm saying, you know, you obviously haven't been through life yet. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt my mama loved me, but she had authority in my life. And if she said, we're going to church, guess where we were going? We're going to church. You see, here's what the Bible says about you. Believers? Any believers in the house? Anybody believers? Come on. All right. We can say that. All right. You believers, well, listen, you are an ambassador for Christ. We say that. We know what an ambassador is. We know that he's a representative of whoever sends him. Happens all the time in our world. We send people to other countries. When they speak, they're speaking for you. That's why you want a good one there, right? Yeah, if you're talking for me, I need you to say what I'm hoping you would say, you know, kind of thing. He says, you're the ambassador for Christ. And I love the next phrase. As though God were making an appeal through us. Did you hear the authority in that statement? You, believers, all you, yeah, man, I'm a believer. You have the authority of Christ in you to do God's will in this world. You're making an appeal as though you were his son. You know why? Because you're his son. Daughters, you're his daughters. Live like it. Let's start walking in the authority God's given us. I love it when our teens come back from motion and they continue to do what they do. I love it last week having all these kids on stage because what we're trying to get in their mind is you don't have to wait till you're an adult to have the authority of Christ in you. You have him now. Come on, man. Let's go live that way and bring life to people. And too many of us have got in our mind what that means. Well, if I'm going to be an ambassador, that means I got to preach and I got to get on stage and I got to say something. No. If you're walking, you're representing. If you're rolling, I mean, you don't have to even walk. If you're just there, person, you are his representative. You're his ambassador. If he says it, you say it. If he does it, you do it. Series coming in January. Why does he say, goes on to say, and I beg you on Christ's behalf, or behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Why? So that when you represent him, you represent him. If you're away from God, he's just saying, come back. So I want you to be my child. I want you to be who I need you to be so you can represent me. And y'all, we don't represent him with an iron fist and hate. You cannot win people on the enemy's side doing what the enemy does. You can't. We walk in the authority of Christ, which is based in the next point. I'll get there in 1 second. Reach out, don't lash out. Let's reach out to people. Let's love people. Because the last thing is this. The next to last thing, but the last point in your notes is this. We walk in Holy Spirit, meaning that we line up with the fruit of the Spirit. So many times we get a little bit nervous about Holy Spirit talk because of what we've either seen happen or what we know might could happen or whatever. Here's what I'm learning. Stop resisting what might happen. You guys who grew up in my tradition, I know what you're thinking. Do not take me there. We give Holy Spirit a stop sign. You can come, but only to hear. None of that, and you fill in the blank. Okay? Because we were taught all of that is based on something that's not even true anyway, and these people are just crazy and yada, whatever, whatever. I'm going to tell you something. If you live for Jesus, everybody, most people, not everybody, we live in the buckle of the Bible Belt still, right? Most people, even some believers, are going to think you're crazy because it's going to radically change your life. When you're yelling at your spouse one minute and you find Jesus and the next minute you're loving them, what happened to you? I'm not who I was. And here's what he says. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I believe personally that list starts with what the fruit of the Spirit is. Because love is what it's all based upon. And when you have the love of Christ in you, y'all, we get to be joyful. I'm crying about it because I've lived in anger too long. Overdone stuff. Over stuff that don't matter. And I have to see it in others. And be blessed by what happens in others, somebody. Because here's the thing. When you have Holy Spirit in life, you begin to see opportunity, not obstacles. You begin to see potential in people's lives rather than, not you, not that person. You begin to take the people in your life that you've had so much doubt because of what they've done or not done. I get it. I understand it. But when you start having the fruit of the Spirit and all these things begin to come out, we have to let our lives be the seasoning for the world that's around us. I love me some salt, but I don't need it anymore. I need to back off the salt. We were watching a game last night, and it wasn't really about the game, I promise you. And my blood pressure spiked. 165 over 107. I started telling Liz about it before I actually checked. I said, I don't know what's going on. Something's really weird with me right now. I don't understand it. She said, what's going on? I said, well, I'm feeling my pulse in my body. You know what that feeling where you just, you feel like your whole body's, you know. I'm glad I had one, but I didn't want to feel it like that. So I went and checked it. It was in the 150s up over the 100s up for all the time I checked it. And the doctor gave me some of this rescue medicine and that kind of thing. And so when I say rescue, it sounds like I needed a rescue. Well, I guess I did in a way. But he gave me this little thing. I took it. An hour later, my heart rate's still up. My blood pressure's still up. And this is after cold compress. And Liz is like, why don't we turn the game off and turn the lights off and let you relax? I said, I'm good. I want to hear the game. Anyway, and so I know that's a curse, I guess. But I started, you know, I don't really know how all that really connects, but I just feel like that what happened to me was a perfect storm that I created. I used to have one cup of coffee, and Liz and I had decided to have, we weren't just dissing the Silver Teens last night. I just decided I needed a whole day just to sit at home and do nothing. It's called Shabbat. And so we did that. In the middle of the day, she fixed a cup of coffee, and I went, man, y'all know how coffee is when somebody's fixing it, and you know. That smells good. I think I'll have another. I had two cups of coffee. And then, see, last Monday, we went on this little thing where I think I told you guys where I was like, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to drink. I'm done with soft drinks. I'm going to drink water for the week, and I'm going to eat no sugar. And so from Monday to Saturday night, I had no sugar pretty much. My chiropractor over, he was like, man, that's what I hear. I was like, yeah, get some of that off. Your back will be better. That wasn't what he said. That's what I said. So I was feeling good. And I told her, I said, you know what? We're going to get pizza for supper. And I'm going to get me a Coke Zero. I ain't had one all week long. No calories or anything like that, but I wouldn't think it has caffeine. And I'm guessing that's what happened to my heart rate. It got up and all those things. And the perfect storm is this. Some of you and me, this is all of us, okay? So I'm not preaching at you. I want you to understand the things I'm giving you today are things that I'm learning, I'm growing in, okay? So when you live your life and you create these perfect storms in your life where you're always busy and you're always doing something and you're running all the time, and then you wonder, why is your heart rate up and your anxiety is out the roof? And you're going, I don't know what to do. I'm stressing out. You're probably having a panic attack. And I'm not trying to discount anybody's stuff, okay? I'm just trying to say we create these things in our life, and someone comes along and says, maybe you need to live more for Jesus in Him and less about those things that are outside that give me the comfort and joy that I want to have, like food and those kind of things. What I learned from it is, you know, I'm not going to tell you I'm never going to eat a slice of pizza again, but I don't need it. So what do we do? So I go to bed last night, finally lay down, I don't know, 10:30 or whatever, and fell asleep, texted Liz after I got in bed. I said, you might want to check and make sure I'm okay before you go to sleep. I was scared. I was a little nervous about it because that was up, you know. 3:00 in the morning, which happens to me a lot. I don't know what it is, about 3, 305, 249, 250, somewhere in that area. I've been waking up just like, you know, not really awake, you know, it's just kind of turning over. God spoke to me. I used to be afraid of that phrase. I'm done being afraid of that phrase. I'm done. And you need to come with me on this. If you're scared about that, that's okay, because I've been so scared for so long. I'll qualify it, and I don't know, like, was it him or not him? And I'm still trying to, like, work all this out. But I woke up a little bit and a word came in my mind. I mean, like a word, I wouldn't have been thinking of it. You don't think of words at 3 in the morning, right? I'll tell you the word in a moment. But right about that time, I had my phone and I thought, you know what, if I don't text this word in a notes page, I'll forget it. That's my mind, okay? So I started texting in there and my phone blinked and it was Tabitha. I had told the kids I was having some blood pressure stuff. Y'all pray for me. I always say goodnight to them on text. And so she's texting me at 3. She's, Dad, I know sometimes you wake up at 3. I'm just saying, I don't know if you're up or not, but you may not get this till the next morning, but I just want you to know I'm thinking about you. Are you okay? I says, everybody up at 3 in the morning? Is everybody up? I text it back. Hey, God gave me a word. I'm going to put that in right now and try to go back to sleep and wake up at 5 like I normally do. And I'll tell you about it tomorrow. And I still haven't got to tell her about it, about this, what I'm about to tell you. So I started typing this stuff in my phone. And I said, okay, God, so is that something you need me to say? And it connects so well with what this message is about. But I didn't change anything on it. I just wrote what I wrote. And the word was mediocrity. God, I know what that means. And the question came, are you tired of it? Are you tired of mediocrity, Keith? And then I wrote this next, do not fear what I'm about to do. Trust me, says the Lord. This is not out of the Bible, okay? This is just what I was getting when I was sitting and laying there. Then he said, we reap what we sow. Sow to the flesh, you get corruption. Sow to the spirit, you get what? Life. And I just begin writing, what are we afraid of if God is in it? My BP blood pressure spike could be a sign of reaping what I was sowing. And it was. I don't know if y'all do this. Is this crazy? I don't know. It just... and then I wrote this, enemy, you are done. I started proclaiming, God is speaking, you gotta go. Come on, prayer team. Y'all need to be down here already. Come on. Y'all be making your way down. I've just started writing this. And I wrote this. If you're playing with fire, stop. That's for some of you. I was, and I'm not. If you're playing with fire, stop, turn, and run to the fire, Holy Spirit, where there is peace and healing. Throw off the weight of sin that so easily besets you. That's Hebrews 12. So that you can run. And when you throw that off, whatever it is, some of you, I'm asking you this morning to walk to a prayer warrior and say, I need to renounce something out of my life. And you need to say it out loud, and you need to release it, not to them. They won't remember what you said, but you release it to them out loud so the enemy can hear it, and he has to get out of your life from that and begin the healing that you need right in this moment, right now. Some of you are right there. Right there. And be set free in Jesus. And then he said, or I wrote this, I guess he said it, mediocrity hinders endurance. I've talked about Major being my chiropractor. He gave me some stretches to do. And I did them for about 3 days. And I told him, I said, man, they hurt. I had to stop doing it because they hurt. Well, he knew they were going to hurt. When you have a back issue, and I'm not hurting today, by the way, brother. When you have a back issue, and he gives you these stretches. I did them for about three or four days. I was telling Liz about it. And I quit doing them about 2 days ago, unbeknownst to anybody else. I just started doing them again. And I think this is what this is saying, that mediocrity hinders endurance. If I want to get better, I got to do the things that maybe hurt a little bit to get where I need to get to. But once I get there, y'all just move up out of the way. First of all, I'm going to beat this guy in some pickleball. He's probably going, nah, it ain't going to happen. He said, it ain't going to happen. Yo, listen, that's physical stuff, but the spiritual things right now are crying out in your life, and you know they're there, and you've been worried about, is that a demon? Is that whatever it is? Don't worry about what you call it. Just call it out. Call it out today and just confess. If you're struggling with something, confess it, because the authority of Christ will take that thing and he will actually redeem it into something you can use for a testimony for him. And the power that comes from that is a power you cannot even imagine what it's like. And if you've experienced it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about mysticism. I'm not talking about whoo. I'm not talking about freaky. I'm not talking about anything. What I'm talking about is what is real. And there are worlds, the Bible calls them principalities and powers, that are battling against our mind, against our heart, and the only remedy for them is Jesus. And you've got to be able to say in your life right now, just renounce it. Renounce it. If it's a physical issue, renounce it. If it's a mental issue, if it's just an anxiety issue, maybe you're having trouble in your marriage, you and your spouse come down here and renounce it in Jesus' name and let somebody heal your marriage. Don't wait on me. Don't wait on me to come. By the time you get to me in my office, sometimes you're like, I'm done. I'm out of here. Don't do that. If you've gone there and you're hurting because you're lonely or hurt or scared or whatever it is, and the devil's trying to put things out on you, please get with a prayer warrior this morning and say, I renounce this in Jesus' name. I'm going to walk in the authority of Christ that he's given me. Get you a verse for it. Get you a word. If you don't have one, call me or text me and I'll send you one. You want to get something for us you can replace. Because if you just renounce something and don't replace it back with the Holy Spirit and what he's doing, let these people pray over you. Let us, somebody pray over somebody. If you don't want to come down here, get with your neighbor next to you and say, hey, I don't know you from Adam's house, Cat, but will you pray for me? They're coming already. You ain't got to wait. Everybody stand up with me. Come on. Everybody stand up. I'm going to release this back into worship in a moment. When I do, I'll be done, okay? But during that time, this is a moment of time for you. The song is I Surrender. Everybody say it. I surrender. Throw up the white flag. Give it away today. Walk away from it. Because here's the thing. When you sow to the Spirit, here's what you're going to get. You don't deserve it. You ain't worth it. You're a sinner. You're outside of Christ. Whatever your situation, I'll tell you, none of us deserve it. It's called grace. God will erase your sin, and he will never, ever, unlike all of us humans, he'll never bring it up again. He will never bring it up. He'll never say, you remember this thing over here? He'll never do that. It's called grace. And then number two, you will get what you don't deserve. You will get what you, anyway, how do I say that? It's mercy. You will get what we deserve. You won't get what you do deserve. You deserve death. You deserve hell. You deserve separation. Go ahead and admit that. Say, you know what, devil, you're not going to tell me that anymore. I'm just going to pronounce, you know, I already know that. But in Christ, I'm going to be free, and you have no shackles over me anymore. Come on, y'all. Let's pronounce it. If you need water baptism, we'll take care of it. Water's cold. I don't care. If you wanted that, we'll take care of that today. Whatever you need, we want to bless you. Come on, church. Amen. Amen. Come. Come as we sing, as we worship. I surrender. Don't just sing it. Do it.
I'm not afraid to die.
cannot and will not take one step, one breath, one movement as a church, but as individuals, God, we can't sustain ourselves, and you know that. So God, thank you. Thank you for being our rock, our refuge, our place of safety, the one to whom we can run and trust. Thank you. Thank you for giving us the authority to walk in Christ through the power of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Imbibe our life. Father, I want to pray over everyone who's renounced something today, who has put it out there. Father, eradicate any fear they may have. Father, I pray that you will step by step walk with them through sanctification, through changing in their life. Father, give them words. Give them your heart, Lord. For those who may have accepted Christ for the first time today, Lord, I pray over and bless them, God. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for the love that we share. I thank you for the next steps they take through water baptism or whatever, Lord. But more than anything, we want you. We want your Spirit. So come, live and breathe in us so we can do what you called us to do and be who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name. Everybody say a good amen right there. Come on, y'all. Give the Lord a great hand right there. Amen. I just want to say before we leave, if you are a guest and you completed a connection card in-house, there are two little black boxes, which, by the way, our partners will leave tithes and offerings. And if you want to do that online, do so. But please leave those cards in the box back there or hand them to me personally or whatever you want to do. We'll get those. We'd love to connect with you. I hope you have an incredible Sunday. It's already been one, right? It's been good. Thank you. I love you. Have a good day.